The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 26th day, this Sunday, 26th day of June. Wow, summer is going by. I mean, it's just flying by already, folks, and I know a lot of the younger people don't realize how quick time goes when you get older. It just seems like, you know, weeks go by like days used to, and time really just seems to be flying. But anyhow, as we continue to look for the Lord's imminent return, He will be back. The title of the message tonight is The Seed of the Serpent, The Enemies of Christ and His Church. And we're going to start tonight in Genesis chapter 3. Boy, this is kind of took me quite a while to preach this message today, so there's a lot involved into it. And we start in the 13th verse of Genesis 3. And the woman said, well, let me go back to one more verse. That was verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, why, that the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and thy woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise thy heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Well, here, going back to verse 13, you know, virtually what she's saying is the devil made me do it, right? When the Lord said to the woman, what is that thou hast done? And the woman said, well, the serpent beguiled me. And so here, the Lord God said unto the serpent. Now, there's two applications here. This next verse, the verse 15, is what we call an evangelium, which means it's actually the very first message, or mention, if you will, of the body of Christ, the church. And here we go back, and he says, because thou hast done this, I will... Thou art cursed above all cattle and above all the beasts of the field. You know, it's an interesting thing because you get these perceptions, all of these pictures you see of Adam and Eve in the garden, and the serpent is this big snake, and he's wrapped around this tree, and he's got his tongue stuck out. And but that's not the way it was. Up until then, Satan was the most beautiful creature God created over Ezekiel 28. And, you know, his vesture was filled with precious stones. And this is what attracted Eve to him. Eve was the second most beautiful creature. She was a prototype. She was the most beautiful woman, the very first one. And from there, they went downhill. Now, here, But, I mean, you had some beautiful, we have some beautiful women today, no doubt about it. But none that could compare with Eve. And so here now, you have two applications. One is, we're talking about the seed of the woman, that being Christ, and the church. Well, actually, the woman doesn't have a seed. She's got an egg. It's the men, the male has a seed. But in this case, because the Lord Jesus had no male father, because he had no male father, it was referred to as the seed of the woman. Now, so that application is that Satan and his children, those people you saw marching up and down, screaming and cussing and cursing, those people you see carrying those placards, when Christ comes back, we'll kill him again. Those with a very foul, I mean very foul language. Those women you see out there running topless, and you had some real atrocious looking ones there had wearing their underwear. They were out there in their underwear at the court. These are women that have become totally depraved. These are totally depraved people. And so these are the children of Satan. And so that is the seed of Satan. And of course, Christ and the church are the seed of the woman here. And he's telling you that you have the two applications. One, in the battle, that in the church will be fighting the battle against the Democrats, if you will. They're gonna hurt our heel. But we're going to crush their head. We're going to crush its head. Meaning that we have victory, as the Bible says, we're more than conquerors in Christ. And here, the other application is the natural application. When you have snakes, serpents, and man inhabiting the same piece of ground. You know, if you're out there, out in the countryside, and you come up on a big snake, or poisonous snake, there's a conflict there. I know I've had my conflict with a number of snakes. I know when I was in the military, I spent about 18 months out in the jungle, straight. And I know that I ran into some, well, very disagreeable snakes in that time. And I didn't try to compromise with them. We had our disagreements, and I walked away. Now here, so you have the two different applications. Unto the woman, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow in thy conception. Well, it used to be, you know, when the woman conceived, you know, it was to be a very, very pleasant thing. Up until this time, up until Eve had sinned, a childbearing conception would have been a very pleasant thing. But now that's changed because of her sin. You have, these women have, these young women of childbearing age, 1 week out of the month, can be very unpleasant for them. And it's usually even more unpleasant for their husbands. For those of you that have been married for a while up there. And so here, as we see this, and childbearing at that time was, again, to deliver a child would have been a pleasant thing, a very pleasant experience, okay? Now it's painful. It's a painful experience. But here, you'll notice something. Remember the very first command that God gave man was in Genesis 1:28. And he said, be fruitful and multiply. That wasn't a suggestion. That was not a suggestion. That was a command. Now here, if you notice what he says here, he says, and thou shalt bring forth children. That, again, was not a suggestion. He's telling them that's what you're to do. Okay, today, two things. Well, let's read the rest of this. and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now, women today are in a rebellion, thanks to the feminist movement, which is one of the worst things that ever happened to this country. The worst things that ever happened to marriage, to the family, and to the entire country. The feminist movement is a horrible thing right from the pit of hell. And here he says this, and thy desire shall be towards thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. God has ruled. And today, these women, why, they don't like the even thought of being obedient to their husband. They don't even like the thought. Why should I, you know, and they say, well, he's not, he don't treat me right, or this or that, and they give you all these excuses. Well, you know what, if they were obedient and they treated their husband right, in many cases the husband would treat them better, but it's that stiff-necked. And the Bible says rebellion is the same as witchcraft. And so when God is telling you this here, he means exactly what he says. And this is one of this, like I said, this feminist movement has caused so much trouble, destroyed so many lives, destroyed so many families. It came right from the pit of hell itself. And so here, if we go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, now, we wonder why some people can be so wicked and so evil, how they can, I'm going to go over to Psalm 2. Let's go to Psalm 2. And in Psalm 2, we read, and this, the application for today is as great as it's ever been. Why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed. Well, you see that Klaus Schwab and his minions there, recently, not long ago, I heard him say how they were mocking, and they said, there is no God above the clouds, and there is no Jesus going to come back. Well, God is not mocked, and I got to tell Klaus Schwab and his minions, they're in for an extremely rude awakening. Extremely rude awakening. You see, God, in his word, has got a 100% perfect performance rate. In other words, for the last 6,000 years, he's done everything up to now that he said he would do, exactly when, exactly where, exactly how. So Klaus Schwab, he's in more trouble, but he's not really smart enough. Professing himself to be wise, Klaus Schwab is a fool. And those minions, they are fools. Now God says they're fools. Listen, if God says you're a fool, get over it, you're a fool, okay? And here, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and rulers take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. In other words, you know what they're saying? They're saying, look, let's break away, let's cut all contact with God. Let's break away, let's not give God any ability to, you know what, I'm going to have to reach down in my cabinet here and wet my whistle here. Let's not give God any opportunity to judge us. Let's not give God any opportunity. We don't want to obey God. We want to be brick. We want to be away from him, and we want all of his people away from us. And today, they hate us. I mean, the Democrats really hate us. And we don't try to control their lives. We don't try to control everything they do. But they want to try to control, you know, everything we do. They want to decide where we can live, what we can eat, how we can live, what we can drive. They're control freaks. But they're wicked, too. They want to decide who can live and who shouldn't live. They're a very evil people here. And so here, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Let's cut God out of the picture. Like Jerry Nadler says, God has no voice in Congress. Boy, it's Jerry Nadler. Let me tell you, Jerry Nadler, if you're out there listening, you have an extremely rude awakening. First of all, Jerry, God will have his voice wherever, whenever he wants. Get used to it. And Jerry, God has said, sodomites will have their place in the lake of fire. Jerry, God has said, sodomites will have their place in the lake of fire. Now, here, to just verify what I just said to you, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Hear that, Jerry Nadler? God, when he's looking at you like a little flea challenging God's authority, like a little flea on his hand, God is about to whack you. And the day will come when you're going to be in for an extremely, extremely, extremely rude awakening. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Now, let me tell you, folks, believe me, that mob that you've sent out there, the mobs you've seen burning the cities in the summers the last couple of years, the mobs you've seen out in front of the Supreme Court screaming and yelling, these are some deprived people. They're totally reprobate. They're depraved. They're depraved. And here it says that God will have them in sore, will have them in derision. And they are in derision. They're deluded. They've got no, they cannot tell the difference between right and wrong, good or bad. They think killing babies is a good thing. Why, these wicked women tell you, it's my body. But now when it comes to taking that poisonous poke, that kill shot, they call a vaccine, these very same women are telling you and I, we don't have any right to refuse that. We don't have the right to refuse the kill shot in our body, but they have the right to kill an individual child who is not their body and call it their body. These women are in complete depravity. They are totally, as he says here, in derision. Now, then shall he speak to them in his wrath. Now listen to this. We're talking about God. Then shall he speak to them in his wrath and vex them in sore displeasure. Yeah, have I said, I set my king upon the holy hill of Zion. I will declare their decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. That was a very exclusive act. That it was a one time that will never be repeated. Never to be repeated. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. Now, look, this has two applications here. This has two applications. When those that have heard the word of God and have called upon the name of the Lord Jesus, those that have heard the word of God and received the word of God, and asked for forgiveness, and called upon the name of the Lord, and became born-again believers, they become heirs in the kingdom, fellow heirs with the Lord Jesus, and they become God's inheritance. Now, those that refuse that, Well, the second part of this verse, you know, talks to them. He says, and for the upper parts of the earth for thy possession, thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. These are the ones that have rejected the word of God. And rejected God himself. Rejected their creator. Thou shalt dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore. O you kings, be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are they that put their trust in him. Now, here, the main thing that the death culture imagines is that somehow, folks, they can get away from God and be free to do and to be as evil as they wish without ever being punished for their sin and their rebellion. You know, as their master, Satan, rebelled against the very thought of serving God's children, his seed, the liberal, hates the very notion of being judged by God. Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And in 1 Corinthians, that's the wrong chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Here, I started with verse 1, all the way through verse 8. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Now, even back then, and boy, I'm going to tell you, this applies more today than ever. Folks, we do not have a just judicial system. It is corrupted. It's corrupted. It is not legitimate. Listen, the judicial system we have is not legitimate. It has gone against everything that God's Word, the Bible, taught. It lost all legitimacy. They can spend a lot of money. You can go to all these indoctrination centers called law schools nowadays. According to God's Word, they are not legitimate. You owe them no allegiance. Now, here, he says, do you know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world should be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know you not that you shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? Well, folks, think about this. Now, Satan didn't care too much for that thought. No, uh-uh. Can you imagine Satan knowing, oh, I'll be judged by man, by this impotent, frail creature, will judge me in all of my glory, with all of my power, with my great beauty, with my great intelligence? No. No, I will not let this happen. I will be like God himself. I will be God. I will sit on the sides of the north. I surely will not be judged by this puny man. Well, God says he will be, okay? And so here, and boy, are you in trouble, Satan. And so here now, he goes on to say, know you not that you should judge angels? How much more things pertain to this life? If then you have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them. Now see, this verse confuses a lot of people here. But it means exactly what it says. It says, set them to judge who are at least esteemed in the church. Meaning this, you're better off to have a brand new baby Christian in the Lord, someone who just gets saved and is a brand new creature with Christ, than to be judged by someone who's unsaved and have been sitting on a bench for 30 years. The brand new babe in the Lord will be much more worthy to give you justice and fairness than that unsaved, than that heathen who's been sitting on the bench for 30 years. He goes on to say, I speak to your shame. Is it so that there's not a wise man among you? Now, this is an interesting thing, but what did... Yeah, this is very interesting, because what was the, say, the national pastime there for the Greeks in Corinth? Well, they'd go down to the pavilion, and they'd sit around, and one by one they would get up, and they would give these long dissertations to try to impress upon the others there about their great intellect, how intellectual they were, their great knowledge. And Paul's asking them, is there even one wise man? Is there even one wise man among you? This really had to hit them, in their pride. He says this, no, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren, but brother go to law with brother and before unbelievers. Now, folks, let me tell you today, especially, and I say this especially because there's so many divorces, thanks to the woman's movement, which was a big part of this, but there's so many divorces. And when a divorce takes place, the ones that always benefit the most are the courts and the lawyers. The lawyers in the courts always benefit the most. And those that have broken their vows to God, those that have broken their vows, they're the ones that have the most to lose, and they do lose the most. He says this, now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take the wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, you do wrong and you defraud and your brethren. Now, he's making a point here. You'd be better off to suffer the loss you have with another who's a professing Christian who is not living or has done you wrong. You're better to go ahead and just suffer the loss there than you are to drag him into a heathen court. Now I kind of want to switch gears here a little bit and go in a little bit of a different direction. I want to go over to Revelation chapter 3. And this has to do, again, when I'm preaching these messages, as you may have noticed, I always try to make the application, because the greatest source of knowledge and wisdom in the world, the only actual living, breathing document. They keep saying that the Constitution is a living, breathing document. No, 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 no. Only the Word of God. Because the Word of God is relevant. It's relevant for today. There are things in there that come to life only when the time is appropriate. There's things that's been in the Word of God for thousands of years. And we've seen it in one application, but now we're seeing it being applied and being applied in a way that is current today, and that it has meaning and how it applies for what is happening with our everyday life in such a perfect way. That it's unmistakable that this has been there all of this time, and now God is revealing to us what he hasn't revealed to us before. And so here, as we look at this in Revelation chapter 3, and we see this. Now, remember we talked about how Satan, the very thought of him having to be judged by us. And what about his children? What about Satan's children? The very thought of having to answer to us Christians who they hate. We don't hate them. We feel sorry for them. We know what the rebellion against God is going to get them, what the cost is going to be. But they hate us. I mean, they really do hate us. Here we read, and the reason for that is Karl Marx. They're one of the ones that they look to, one of their mentors, Karl Marx, said, we don't want love. We want hate. We want pure hate. And that's what they have for us. You've seen these screaming banshees, and you'll see them this summer. You've got this, what is called Burn, Loot, and Murder, formerly Black Lives Matter, and Antifa. Remember about 2 years ago, during the heights of the cities, the shootings, when they were saying that they're going to move out into the suburbs, they're going to go to the countryside and start shooting white children. And you've seen just recently where you've got these black supremacist armies. Well, I can tell you something, folks. I know what's going on around this country. I know you got 300 million armed people. And I know one thing. When they start going out into the countryside shooting people, well, they're not going to like what happens. Because people are getting every day more and more fed up with this anti-God, anti-Christ, this rebellion, this very selfish hatred against God and his children. Here he says, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. I will make them come and worship before thy feet to know I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation that shall come upon the whole world to try them that dwell upon the earth. So who are these people? Are they here today? Boy, you bet they are. The ones that say they are Jews but are not. How about George Soros? How about Chuck Schumer? How about Hillary Clinton? How about Bill Maher? How about Mark Zuckerberg? These are just a few. And who are these people? They're people that hate Christ. They hate Christ and they hate his Christians. They hate Christ and they hate his Christians. And so here, when he says this, and I will keep them from the hour of temptation, he's talking about the church. He's talking about the church, the actual church. And that hour of temptation that he's talking about is the tribulation period that's going to come upon all the earth. Now, here, because these people, Satan's children, the seed of the serpent, because they continue to refuse to repent of their sin, God has given them over to reprobate minds. Now, in their depravity, they deceive themselves by convincing themselves that they are justified in their transgressions against God's law. They're calling good evil and evil good. They actually out there have convinced themselves that God is in the wrong and that they are in the right. And they've convinced themselves that God should answer to corrupt government. Folks say, no, that's ridiculous. It is ridiculous, but that is the reality of what we call the Democrat or the liberal or what they call the progressive. these are the heathen. The Bible calls the heathen. Now, when you talk about, remember, people like Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden and others who become totally reprobate. Have you heard Nancy and Joe? I've heard them, and I sit there and I just say, this is astonishing. This is the hypocrisy and the delusion. Nancy's talking about her great and deep faith in God. And Joe Biden, too. And yet, God calls abortion murder. And they say, well, God's wrong about that. It's their choice. God calls sodomy, being a sodomite, depravity and abominable. And they say, no, it's something that should be accepted and embraced. Everything that I can think of, that God calls a sin, okay, a transgression of his laws, Joey Biden and Nancy Pelosi embrace. They embrace these things. And yet, and add Merrick Garland to that too. And yet they turn around. Now, there are certain places in the Word of God where God has said, do not invoke his name. Do not invoke his name. And here, I think that would apply to Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden. They should not even invoke the name of God. They're in enough trouble as it is right now. Right now. Because of their ability and their authority. Well, they don't really have authority, but of their power. I believe there's a special hot place in hell because of their wickedness. Now, they don't believe they have anything to repent of. And that is why they're certain to end up in hell. They've been given over. When they get to the point where they don't believe that they have anything to repent of, they've been given over to a reprobate mind. Let's go over here to Romans chapter 1. And in Romans chapter 1, I want to read. I know some of you folks have been concerned about this cough. I do have a cough, and it's got more to do with dust and allergy, but it's a very mild one that's getting much, much better. And as far as my raspy throat, that's due to a lot of preaching. If I'm not, you know, you got to figure I do radio 6 days a week, and I'm preaching a couple times other than that. And so just a lot of wear and tear on the vocal cords. And folks, I've been doing it for 50 years. And I want to thank all of you out there that have been sending me those wonderful, wonderful emails and texts, because I say now, well, for 49 years, I have fought to overturn Roe v. Wade, but I am just one of many of God's children who have fought, and there's some, and we're going to put some of those people, Lord's willing, here on the air that have fought so hard to overturn that horrible, horrible, ungodly, evil, that evil mandate that extremely wicked and corrupt court passed down, that curse that they put on the American people. And so we start tonight in Romans 1, starting with verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness. Boy, like I said, you know, it's not just the women. I guess the reason I'm always hitting them is they're the ones that always seem to be in front of the cameras running their mouths when it comes to killing the babies. They're out there talking about their body. They had some horrible, horrible unclean women. I mean, extremely unclean women with very, very foul mouths. I mean, vulgar. You know, years ago when I was a kid growing up, women like that would have gone right to jail. They would have been arrested right on the spot. America was a much better place. It was a much cleaner. It was a good country. Back in the 50s, they would have gone right to jail. And just like these young girls, if they'd have gone down to the beaches naked like they do today, they would have been arrested and charged with indecent exposure. But the morals and the values and the standards and the integrity of our nation has been reduced greatly. We're not nearly as good a nation as we used to be. No, not in any way, shape, or form. America has been reduced to just a shadow of herself. He goes on to say, wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now, the creature here he's talking about is not the animals in the forest. It's man. We're the creature that it's referring to. They're worshiping these basketball players and football players and rock star singers, and they're worshiping these people. Look, I liked the way Elvis Presley sang. I thought he was one of the best singers there ever was. But I'm going to tell you, when these women worshipped him the way they did, well, folks, that was idolatry. And I used to just watch, and I said to myself, what is wrong with these women? These screaming and yelling and crying. I mean, they've just, it seems like they lost their minds. When Elvis would sing, I remember that time when he went to see. Now, Elvis feared God. He feared God. And I heard him say he feared God. And I was watching when he had a concert years and years ago. Back in, I believe it was the late 50s, maybe early 60s, but I believe it was the late 50s. And these women all put this, they had this banner, it was a big long banner, probably 25 feet long. And they raised it up and they said, Elvis is king. He said, take it down. Take it down now. Jesus is king. Take it down. I won't go on. I'll stop the show. Do you know why he did that? Because he understood. You see, Elvis knew the story about Herod, the so-called Magnificent. When he accepted the worship, he knew what happened to Herod. He knew about Nebuchadnezzar. When Nebuchadnezzar stood on his balcony and opened his arms and looked out and said, "This, all of this I have built." God was listening, and God assured Nebuchadnezzar, "No, you're not the one who's built these things. And Nebuchadnezzar, you're going to find out more about grass than you ever wanted to know." And the same thing with that fellow named Jonah. When God told him, go to Nineveh, Jonah says, no, I'm not going there. I'm going to go to Troas. And say, if God tells you to go someplace, just get and do it, because you're going to end up right where he wants you, right when he wants you. You can do it your way or his, and your way can be painful. And let me tell you about Jonah. Jonah learned more than he ever wanted to know about a fish ride. He never, ever wanted to know that much about a fish ride, see? And Jonah learned something. When God tells you to do it, get it, do it now. Don't argue, because you can't win that argument. And here now, for this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. Well, in a lot of these countries, in some very wicked cities you have out there today, I mean, where the depravity is so great, you will have women who be involved with bestiality. Or just like here, and I believe it was the University of Chicago a couple of years back when they had their depravity, it might have been Michigan, but I'm not quite sure, but I remember reporting on it at the time, how they had for a week or 2 weeks, they were going to give credits for people that wanted to have sex out there in the open. And they had one woman came who was going to have whatever man wanted to have sex with her, you know, she just was there. There was another one in her depravity. And folks, this is this is really depravity. Her thing was that you would come and put a staple. She had a stapler, and you would put a staple in her backside. And that was the depravity. And here's what it says. It gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change their natural use, which was against the nature. And likewise also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly. Well, folks, God's word, the Bible, God has said, the LGBTQ is an abominable thing. You see, what these television stations, what Fox News and Spectrum One and NBC, ABC, CBS, when they all declared as they're watching LGBT month, what they says is we will become like them. We're going to celebrate sin. So Fox News and NBC, ABC, CBS, Taco Bell, and others were celebrating, and I heard some of the Giant Eagles were celebrating sin. They were celebrating what God's word calls an abomination, an unclean thing. And so what they were doing, Fox News was saying, we're celebrating uncleanness. This sin that God calls abominable, we hear, and some of us are professing Christians, in our stupidity, in our total biblical illiteracy, we're celebrating this sin, this horrible sin. Now, here, he goes on and say, men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves the recompense of their error. Well, what are we talking about? Unseemly means shameful, shameful. Unseemly means shameful. Recompense means their penalty. It means the penalty of their error. Well, what is one of the penalties of the error? You got this monkeypox thing. Like AIDS, this monkeypox is spread amongst sodomite men. It's a disease that's almost uniquely spread amongst sodomite men. He goes on to say, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do the things which are not convenient. And by the way, here, when you're talking about convenient, he's talking about proper, things that are not proper. He goes on to say, but filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit. Listen to these things. This is like the Democratic Party platform. It is. Right? Wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable. Folks, here means unforgiving. Implacable means unforgiving. Unmerciful. Who, knowing the judgment of God, they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So I remember some back in, 2008, when Abomination was running for president. I remember he went to Saddleback Church with Rick Warren, and they got up and they said, our position is that marriage is only between a man and a woman. And I said, right then, I said, that will change the very minute. If he gets the election, then that will change that very minute if he wins the nomination, or wins the election, rather. And guess what? Both him and Rick Warren, as soon as Obama won the election, they both changed their position, just like we knew they would. Now, here, also, I had a lady who ran abortion mills, five of them, I believe, and she told me, she says, when you hear these women say, personally, I would never have an abortion, personally, I could never kill my child, but I won't condemn or judge those that do. She said, that's code in the industry for those. In other words, what they're telling you, I've had at least one abortion. She says, you can believe in that. Well, that never occurred to me, but she should know. She came out of that killing industry that she was a part of. Now, I want to go over to Jeremiah chapter 2. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 33 and 34. Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? Therefore hast thou also taught the wicked ones thy ways. That means, why prepare a way? Why start preparing to? And that word there means lust. Why are you planning, okay, to fulfill your lust? Therefore hast thou also taught the wicked ones thy ways. In other words, you've taught, had others become like yourself, wicked. Now, he goes on also to say, also in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents. I have not found it by secret search, but upon all of these. So, what is he saying? Well, today, believe me, that mob and these people, Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, every one of those deathocrats, everyone bloodthirsty, I mean, and wicked and evil. And folks, you got to remember something. Now, why do you say, well, here, like in California, they want to be able to, after 28 days after a baby's born, still be able to kill it? Well, what they really want is these women is to carry their babies to term and then sell them to places like the University of Pittsburgh, where they take innocent little children, innocent babies, God's gift, and these wicked, evil, ungodly, evil, because of the corrupt, because of the illegitimate, totally illegitimate, corrupt government we have. They will take and they will dissect these babies alive without giving them anything for pain, because they don't want anything to influence at all their flesh. This is wicked. And these people, there's a special, special hot place in hell for these people. And you know what we need, folks? We need pastors to have the guts and the courage and the decency and the honor and the integrity to call this wicked, evil, hate-filled sin exactly what it is. Well, there's only a few of us that will do that out there today. And if you belong to a church where that pastor doesn't have the guts or the honor and the integrity to preach the Word of God that way, and you stay in that church, you don't deserve any better. Now here, we see this. What does he say? I have not found it by secret search, but upon all of these. In other words, by their own profession. God didn't have to look upon their heart. It was their own mouths. They condemned themselves with their own mouths. Well, I'm at that time, and I never even actually made it halfway through this message. But this week, hopefully, we will make it through because we have a lot more time to put into it this week. So the bottom line is what we're telling you. We've been talking about Satan's seed, the serpent's seed, and God's seed. And folks, let me tell you, God recognizes two kinds of people. Two kinds. Those that have received salvation through his Son, received the sacrifice that his Son made upon that cross at Calvary, and those that have rejected. God recognizes those two kinds of people. And those that have received eternal life through Jesus Christ will spend eternity in glory in heaven with God. Those that have not, those that have rejected it, will spend eternity in torment. Now, God has ruled. God had ruled. And when God rules on something, folks, that's the law. That's the law. So if you're out there listening to me tonight and you have not made that decision, if you think, well, you know, I think I'll tell you what, and I've had people tell me this, well, you know, I'm not quite ready. I've got some things, some living to do. I want to do some living first, and then, boy, that is a mistake. You see, because it's not up to us. The time of our departure from this life is not our call. That's God's call. And when God gives you that invitation, he might give it to you again, and you might give it to you again. God's merciful. But then again, you may hear it for the last time. And when you hear that, and you've made that decision not to do it, well, folks, that's the wrong decision. Now, are you talking about 3 minutes or 30 seconds?
Yeah, around
30. Okay. All right, there you go. Well, we are out of time for tonight. And so, like we do every night at this time, we say that good night, God bless, and always, always, how many seconds? Okay, always, always. And think about this, folks, as we always say, keep fighting the fight. Always, always, always keep fighting, and I mean fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.